Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
With the Mario Brothers, them plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. So hang on to your seat, get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge.
Hey, Calypso Man! Yeah, that's what that was, right?
Sure, Chris, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Hey, guys, honestly, this is Comic Culture, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, to my left is our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein.
How's it going, guys?
We're doing great, Shecky. All right, so you guys took me aback by that intro music.
That was, you know what it was? And I feel dated because that was like Saturday. Yeah. That was my Saturday morning.
I don't think you've had a date in, what, 3 years?
That's not the sort of date that I choose to bring up right now. Well, okay. Thanks, right, though, for reminding. These ones are the pleasant memories. With the Saturday morning cartoon show, it was that. It was Super Mario. It was Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
I think they had Sonic and stuff on. But see, again, you guys are a little bit older than me. I guess you didn't tune into those cartoons.
No, I remember like Thunder the Barbarian and Laugh Olympics.
Yeah, see, I have no idea what you're talking about now.
Yeah, all right.
I remember Mighty Mouse and...
Man, you're old.
Mickey Mouse. Just kidding.
You remember Mickey Mantle.
All the mouses.
All the mouses. Hey, so we're at the point of the show where Chris Owen takes a whack, a whole plethora, a plethora of new comics that are hitting your local comic book shop today.
All right, well, let's...
And he basically, you know, gives out his wisdom and his opinions of each. And for this segment, for this bit, we have Shecky Feldstein with a sponsor.
Absolutely. And none other than the illustrious Resurgence of Winter bringing us new this week. Just when you thought it was over, winter returned to bring the deep freeze.
Really did, eh?
It was awful. Like, yeah. It was days of, it would snow all night, and then in the morning it'd be frozen, it'd be like driving on glass the next day.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And then it was just the melting and the flood. It was awful.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That's why we're here, though, to warm the listeners' hearts.
Mm-hmm. Warm the cockles of your heart.
The what?
The what?
Cockles.
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 Alive, alive, ho.
Singing cockles and muscles. Alive, alive, ho.
All right. Eyes the bye. Okay, let's keep going.
brings me back to grade 8 music class. Listen, now we do want to talk about comics here, so and not listen to us sing. So let's talk about comics. New this week, we do have James Asmus writing and Andre Lima Arriujo on the book of The New Inhumans.
That was pronounced very well.
Did you like,
Chris,
the way I said that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all New Inhumans. Of course, it's funny the way that Marvel has decided that they want to deal with only like the Inhumans. No longer, it's not the mutants anymore, right? And it's not the X-Men and the mutants. It's now all about the Inhumans because
they don't own
Fox,
X-Men anymore. Yeah.
Well
cinematically.
Yeah. Cinematically, which seems to be what's driving these things these days. Mm-hmm. Cinematically, they don't own the mutants anymore. So, of course, now they're pushing all the Inhumans and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know what's the best part of this comic, Shecky, is
that
I get to try that name, too. So, All New Inhumans number 6 by Asmus Mosa and Arriujo.
You know what? I think he said it better than I did.
There's like 6 letters there. It can't possibly have many syllables.
Pretty much all of those letters are like a vowel and a J.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of those little accents.
Yeah, and that's why you got so many different tone pitches and changes.
Hey, get into your local comic book shop. Check that out today.
All right. Next up, we've got... now, this is an interesting comic book because... this is sort of what George Lucas had intended with his Star Wars trilogy, and that was it was sort of the vision of Star Wars, the original one, was sort of done through the eyes of C-3PO and R2-D2, the bumbling idiots kind of thing, right?
Right.
So now you've got C-3PO number 1. has come out on your newsstands today.
You know what? I'm not surprised because essentially after the first comic book series, they touched on Darth Vader and Leia and then Lando. It seems like every even B character in the film is eventually going to have their own title.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
So is C-3PO really a big enough character that can hold his own comic?
You know what?
He can hold his own.
He might be because he, in the first one, the Pod Racer, Return of the Pod.
Return of the Pod.
The start of the Pod.
Phantom Menace?
Yeah, okay. Right, because Anakin made him.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
Too late. 16 years later.
Yeah.
So he made him, and he's traveled through with all the different generations.
It's true.
So
it's true.
Think of the things he's seen.
Oh, the things you'll see.
Don't know.
Yeah. So you know what? Maybe there are tucked away little gem stories.
If only I could see what the C-3PO has seen, but with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Hey, C-3PO number one is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Let's see what else we got on the hit parade here. We got, we'll continue with Marvel. We've got, Protectors of the Spider-Verse. This is the Web Warriors. So basically this is a culmination of all the, I'll call it B-list Spider-Man type characters. So this is where you've got your Spider-Girl and your Peter Porker, the spectacular Spider-Ham, right? You know, all these sort of B-list type Spider-type characters, and they all have their own little book called Web Warriors.
This is the B-list show.
Oh,
B-list.
I think so,
Inhumans.
Bunch of us.
Really is, eh?
Talk about B-listers.
Yeah, may as well bring up my play that happened a while ago.
Woo! Hey, Web Warriors number 6 is available at your local comic book shop. Your A-list local comic book shop today.
All right, let's one last I don't know if I want to call it a B-lister, but certainly
why not?
So this is a book that, you know, in our day, Walt, in our day, this would have been not allowed. The cover would not have been allowed.
No.
This is a it looks like a full gunshot blast to the head on the front cover of Negative Space number 4.
Yikes.
Well, that's
just nasty.
It's a pretty nasty comic. It looks gross. Like, I got to admit, I don't like the looks of it.
I think, you know what, they're getting away with it. I think it's what would normally be brain matter. I think they're like parasitic, wormy type creatures. So maybe that gets
maybe
get away with saying it's not actually a human.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But the guys, see, I didn't take. I have to admit, I didn't actually read this one. For a change, I didn't read one of them. Now the guy on the cover, he's wearing a t-shirt that says the end or the end or just end.
Just end.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if maybe this is the last issue of this comic, and they're just throwing all caution to the wind. And
I don't know, but we will notice there's no comics code stamp on there, so anything goes.
No, there is
anything
not.
Goes.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Negative Space number 4. If you dare.
If you dare.
At your local comic book shop today.
All right. Here's a comic you should dare to take a look at, and that's Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 5. And this is a short-lived miniseries out of 6, but you should get the whole thing. Cool book, great writing, great art. I love the art on it.
I hear some very positive stuff about it, but it is one of those things that seems like too much of kind of like a joke, kind of just, you know, cashing on two good franchises right now, that beyond 6 issues might be trying to toy with something.
But, I think 6 issues is perfect. It's just enough to get your Batman and TMNT fix.
To wet your whistle.
To wet your whistle.
Yes.
All right, so that is Batman.
Your whistle.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 5 of 6.
Okay.
Available at your local comic book shop.
Now we've got... So I've decided, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a variant cover every week.
Look at you.
I know. Yeah, something different.
That's awfully progressive.
I know. So
forward thinking.
So, because it's very easy to talk about covers on radio.
It's so easy, Chris. Yeah.
So visual.
So Harley Quinn's Gang of Harleys is a new 6-issue miniseries as well. And so this is the special sketch cover. So normally on a sketch cover, it's pretty much just the title and it's all white and you can pretty much have whatever you want drawn on it.
Right.
But I like this particular cover. It's done like a museum, and Harley Quinn is stealing a painting. And so the idea is that the person will sketch a picture where the painting would be.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit different.
I like that. That is cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Hey, on these sketch covers, have they done one yet? You know how, like, last year the big trend was those coloring books?
Yeah.
Have they done one to color your own cover? Like, just on a comic book, Batman number 49.
I don't think on a regular. They've done it.
Coloring cover?
They've done it on. There's a Deadpool graphic novel where it's just a coloring book, but not.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about a glossy paper stock that says Deadpool coloring book. I'm talking about Harley Quinn number 2 that has the sketch cover, but it's actually the coloring book cover.
I don't know. I think they may have, but not that I can recall.
All right. So, you know, that's progressive thinking right there, Walt. Maybe there you should submit some ideas.
Hey, wait a minute. Harley Quinn Gang of Harleys 1 of 6 is available at your local comic book shop.
All right. And finally, we haven't done this in a while, our Kids Pick of the Week.
No, we haven't. We've been forgetting the taunts.
Is it by Art Balthazar?
No, it's not by my good friend Art Balthazar.
Is it Greg Hyland?
It's not Greg Hyland. This is Ian Flynn.
Well, then what's the use?
Yeah, really.
Ian Flynn and Sonic the Hedgehog, number 280 it's up to now.
Look.
Yeah. Oh,
I know, right?
Sega's wow, Archie Action. Mm-hmm. Sonic the Hedgehog, number 280. Good for them.
Yeah, I remember a little while ago when we talked about how, like, when Archie got up to whatever it got up to, I forget. And, you know, we were talking about the longest running continuity of number for different books.
Yeah,
and I remember that Sonic the Hedgehog was one of them. Same with the Simpsons
it's
one,
pretty
right?
High up
surprisingly,
there.
You don't notice those things.
Yeah, now Spawn.
Yep.
Up there. Spawn. I think
Savage Dragon.
Femforce
is really high up there, believe it or not. A book that nobody buys.
Sounds like it goes in a different store, not a comic book store.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're talking about books in the 90s, though.
That's
it. Like, there's nothing from the 70s.
No.
I don't think even into the
80s. So, well, what's going to happen? So, Action Comics, they're going back to the original numbering, right?
Yeah, you knew that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, it's
scam, wham.
It's a scam.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
But, hey, so Sonic the Hedgehog, number 280,
scam,
at your local comic book shop.
Scam, wham, thank you, ma'am.
That's all I can come up with.
That's good. That's good. All right. Yeah. Listen, as Walt said, there's lots more different comics out there, probably at least 1,000 new ones out every week. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. Shecky, do you got something lined up for us?
Yeah, it's time for a little of our favorite.
Nice. That means Aquaman, right?
Sure.
Yeah, good. Okay. That was the theme soundtrack to The Lone Ranger, right?
Chris, come on. I play that so much, the Lone Ranger song.
Oh,
you know that
oh,
one.
Oh, right. What was that?
That was the Beach Boys and Buddy Rich doing...
Drum solo.
Tequila.
But what it actually was, was Krantz, though, and I saw your eyes go wide.
Is that a new Krantz we've never heard before?
Yeah, you know what? Just one of the rare gems. Bank.
And rare gem.
Once you hear the title, Heading for the Bank, you think it's like an Ocean's 11 thing where the cons being pulled.
Yeah,
you know?
I like it. I like it.
Good one, Shecky.
All right.
There we go.
All right.
Good one.
All right. Well, that brings us up to industry news.
Yeah, and we get a sponsor for industry news.
Yes, industry news part one brought to us by the Niagara Falls Comic Con. Shop for your favorite comics and pop culture by day and sample the slots at night. The slots at the casino there.
Sample the slots at night?
Yeah, you sample
the
slots.
That's a good idea. That's
the slots at night.
Mm-hmm. You've had all day.
Can I come
with you on that one?
Wait a second.
Solo. I prefer solo.
Solo slots. Yeah. Okay. Wait, hold on a second here. Let's be serious for a second here. Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yeah.
Do we even know anything about this?
Well,
we don't. Do we know anything about anything?
Chris? Like, I know. Walt, I know you've set up as a table for there for a little while.
Yeah.
But like, so who are the guests this year?
Okay, you've asked me a question. Listen. Okay.
I'm just asking. Do, well, you know, no, about
you
all this?
You got me on the spot, but okay. You know what?
Okay. You know, welcome back. Got him on the spot.
Hey, no, you know what? When do we call the Niagara Falls Comic Con?
Wait.
What do you mean call?
We can't. How do you call a convention?
Well, you call the guys running the convention.
Okay, well, that's different. You're not calling the convention.
No, like, we're going to call the convention. Yeah. Hi, can I speak to the convention,
please? Can I speak to the table,
no,
please?
We're going to call the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now. Something we haven't done.
Don't they have better things to do than talk to us?
Listen, guys, come up with a bit if he doesn't answer, though. We're going to need a backup.
All right, yeah. All right. We planned for him to be out of office.
All right, let's try to call him.
Give him a call. Calling him right now.
Okay.
The Niagara Falls Comic Con, we're calling right now.
All right. In the process of calling right now.
In the process of calling the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now. It's ringing.
Nice.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Walt, it's James, how are you?
I'm fine, James, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, James, we got you on the spot. We're on air. We started talking about the Niagara Falls Comic Con, and then we realized that we really don't know much about what's going on, so we thought we'd call the horse's mouth and call James Ponce, who is what do you serve there? You're basically the director of the con, right?
Yes, director of operations. Pretty much
Chris, director of
director. Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, we've called the right guy then.
All right.
So help us. I mean, we wanted to talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con, James, but we thought, hey, if we gave you a call, you could really kind of feed us the information that the listeners want to hear.
We figure you might know a little bit more about it than we actually do.
Yeah, there's a small chance.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so why don't we start with the date? Niagara Falls Con goes first weekend of June, right?
Yeah, June 3rd to the 5th this year.
Okay, and it's at the Niagara Falls Convention Center, which is that beautiful, beautiful Scotiabank building right off of, is it McLeod? No.
Yeah, it's actually Stanley Avenue. It's Stanley Avenue, 15 Stanley Avenue, Scotiabank Convention Center.
All right. So, James, I mean, fill us in. What's the buzz? What's the excitement this year around the con?
Well, it's our fifth year anniversary. The event is going into... we're 3 days once again, which has been, you know, for the last couple of years. It started out as a one-day show, which attracted, you know, about 4,000 people a few years ago. And now it's grown into a, you know, three-day pop culture extravaganza, as we like to call it. There's over 200,000 square feet of, you know, there's movie cars and exhibits and comic books, toys, video games, celebrities, Q&A sessions. We even have a wedding this year, which we're really excited for.
Wait a minute. You have a wedding?
Yes, there is a wedding in Ballroom A at 2 o'clock.
So who's getting married, like Superman and Wonder Woman?
I actually believe it's Joker and Harley Quinn.
Okay, so
an actual couple, they're going to get dressed up as, and like an actual priest or pastor will come and marry them.
Yes, we're very excited. It's the first time in Niagara Falls Comic Con history.
So hold on, does that mean there's an open bar?
No, open bar.
Man. Oh, man.
Good
Come
one,
on.
Chris. Good one. Oh, wow. That is
nice
fantastic.
Try, though. Nice try.
Yeah.
So can anybody go to this wedding?
Yes, the wedding is free for anyone that is in the Comic-Con. Anyone has a ticket to the event is free to join in the festivities.
Nice. All right. That sounds awesome. That sounds great.
I think I'll go as Elvis. Because you need Elvis at a wedding.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
That's fantastic. So that's great. So give us some of the, I mean, it doesn't just have to be comic guys, James, but fill us in on some of the people that we could expect at the show, some celebrities or comic celebrities or just pop culture celebrities.
Sure. Well, we've got the Fonz, Henry Winkler from Happy Days. Obviously, he's one of the most iconic television stars of all time.
Do you think he'll punch somebody in the head after about the 7,900th time he hears A from somebody?
I hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't blame him for it, would you?
Maybe. It just depends.
I think you should try to get him to say, sit on it, Potsy.
Yeah, sit on it, Potsy. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that may be something that goes over really well.
Right. So, okay, you got the Fonz?
Yeah, so we have the Fonz. We have Kevin Dillon from Entourage. He's famous for playing Johnny Drama.
Oh, I love that show.
That's your favorite show, isn't it, Marty?
Maybe my favorite show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. We have we also have Lou Ferrigno, you know, the Incredible Hulk.
Nice.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
I thought I'd do the Fonz. Oh. I thought it would be intermixing.
Wrong character.
Wrong character. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't think that worked.
No. All right. That's okay. A lot of the show doesn't work, James, so don't worry about it.
We have Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are coming as well, doing their live podcast, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
Now, I read about that, so explain that to us, please.
So pretty much, if you're a fan of Jay and Silent Bob, it's definitely an event you want to attend. Doesn't, you know, really come to Canada very often, and when it does, it's definitely really historic. So the podcast itself is the number one rated comedy podcast on iTunes. So Jay and Silent Bob will be in the theater entertaining fans and telling stories from, you know, their past growing up together and Hollywood life, and really just, you know, sharing stories with fans and answering questions. And it's a really intimate and interactive way for, you know, Kevin Smith fans to really get to kind of mingle with him.
I've heard that Walt wants to get intimate with Kevin Smith.
But, oh, no, listen, you're taking that out of context.
No comment?
You're taking that out of context. But, you know what? I can't wait. Let's put it that way. All right, James. Now, on the comic side, because our show, as you know, James, champions the local comic book shop. So we dispense info for comic fans. So what can they expect in terms of comic book celebrities at the show?
Well, we have Chris Claremont, who we're very excited to be hosting.
Yeah.
Yes, as a comic fan growing up, I think X-Men was probably one of the books that was always in my must-read pile, and you know, obviously Chris Claremont is known for writing some of the you know, the biggest comic stories of all time, not just X-Men, as well as really bringing Wolverine into the limelight back in the 80s when he had his solo series. So we're very excited about having Chris here. And then we're also bringing in Gail Simone, who obviously is very well known in the comic world for, mm-hmm, you know, her writing on Batgirl and Birds of Prey and many, many other things for DC. So we're excited about her as well.
Right on.
Awesome.
And I heard you got a great scoop. You were able to get that the coveted retailers Big B Comics into the con. I heard that. That's wonderful.
Yes, somehow I don't think we can get rid of them even if we tried.
Now, what's this I hear about beers with Norm? What's that all about? So Norm from Cheers, right?
Yeah, so George Wendt, who is famous for playing Norm from Cheers, will be at the show all 3 days. And on Saturday at 4 p.m., you have a very, very rare opportunity to have a beer with him. So the package includes a collectible Niagara Falls Comic-Con Brandon mug filled with beer, a nice 12-ounce frosty drink to have with Norm.
Nice.
In a private, intimate setting and get a photo op with him and just kind of chat with him for a little bit. And it's really a really neat interactive experience that, you know, you really don't see something like that around here very often. So we're really excited to present that to the fans as well.
All right. Now, James, I know that your capacity down there is to line these guests up and to contact these guests and all that kind of stuff. Just a personal question. Who are you most excited to meet and see just as a fanboy of pop culture over the years?
As a fanboy, I definitely think I'm definitely excited for Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
And also Carol Spinney as well from Sesame Street. Carol's been the puppeteer of Big Bird and Oscar Grouch and the voice of them as well since the show started. So it's been over 47 years and over 4,000 wow. episodes.
That's cool. Very cool.
I definitely grew up with that show.
Yeah. Who didn't almost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Now, James, tell us where online, right? You can buy tickets. Just tell the listeners where the best spot to get tickets is, if you could.
Yes, tickets are available online at nfcomiccon.com or any Big B Comics location in Niagara Falls or Hamilton.
Any Big B Comics location? That's crazy. Did you know that, Walt?
You notice how I baited that question there, Chris?
And you notice how I couldn't avoid it no matter what I tried? Yeah.
I painted him into a corner.
Yeah.
James, hey, thanks so much for sharing all this with us and taking the time to talk to us. Oh, hold on.
Is there anything else that he wants to add?
Oh, yeah. Please, if there's anything else you want to add.
Well, yeah, just, you know, Niagara Falls Comic Con is an event that we have a hardworking team that really wants to make a great, enjoyable, family-friendly event. People of all ages can come down and enjoy everything from, you know, costumes and cosplay to Star Wars, the 501st Stormtroopers, and cars and Q&As and all kinds of fun activities. We have some really cool video games we'll be debuting for some interactive companies at the event, including, you know, virtual reality superheroes and all kinds of really neat stuff. 1992 Batman screen news bat suit from Batman Returns will be on hand for you to display and take pictures with as well. So we're really looking forward to having just, you know, a great time with a lot of fans out there.
Awesome. All right, James. Thank you for this.
No problem, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, take care, James.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was James Ponce, director of operations at the
Director.
Director.
Niagara Falls Comic-Con. Yeah.
Director of operations.
Just like Fury there. He's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's right.
No, but that's cool. I mean,
that's awesome.
And he is right. You know, I mean, we can, you know, talk all we want, but they are, I mean, they're a young show. They're a hardworking show. They really treat all the retailers, us as retailers and all the other retailers, they treat us right. They make sure we have what we need. They always come and ask. It's a really family-friendly show.
It is,
And you know how he said, you know, he just wants it to be the best thing it can be for the fans, for everyone. I enjoy it every year, but you know what? They are missing one thing.
What's that?
To put it 110%, they need a bouncy castle, like a superhero castle. Yeah. Anyone in cosplay is allowed to get in the mix, and it's just like a big, like a Royal Rumble
of cosplay.
Wait. Of ambulances outside.
And anyone in cosplay is allowed to go into the bouncy castle. I see what you're really trying to do. You're trying to get all the sexy cosplayers all of a sudden just to have bouncy castle fun.
Hey, I didn't say that that's what that was about. I didn't say I was going to be there with the film camera taking a photo.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say it.
But, no.
We'll just leave that at that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, why don't we segue into a musical interlude before we dive into industry news.
I think we can do that.
All right.
Let's see. What you got for us there, Sheck?
I got something a little different.
All right.
But it might be relevant, maybe.
Maybe. A little different, but maybe relevant.
But maybe.
Okay. So,
all right. Hey, so Chris, I got a... go ahead.
I think that was Love Theme from Doctor Who.
Oh, Dr. Zhivago?
Is that what it was?
It was the Batman... the New Adventures of Batman Superman.
Oh,
there.
No, right, you and I are going to just have to keep guessing.
I know, one day we'll get it right.
Hey, I got a text from a buddy listening to the show live, and he said, "Hey, Walt, could you have kissed that guy's ass from Niagara Comic Con anymore?"
I think we all know the answer to that, and that is yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he could have.
I think I went as far as I can go, really.
You know what? You can always go a little farther.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, listen. And that guy will be first in line to pick up tickets for the next.
That's right. And you know what? We do have to thank James Ponce again for letting us give him a call and taking his time out of his busy schedule to talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
All right. Hey, let's talk about something that I don't even know if we want to talk about. Let's talk about a sponsor for industry news.
We should do that.
Sometimes we do that, don't we? All right. Industry news part two is actually brought to us by Ultra Mega Electro Power Generator Gloss Covers. The new electromagnetic ink not only lets you read in style, but can also power your home.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice,
I'm looking forward to that. The things they can do these days.
Yeah, well, it looks like Marvel undersold itself there because they're only using power magnetic gloss.
Only.
Say it ain't so.
It's first of all, it's not magnetic. It's metallic.
What did I say?
Magnetic. All these books aren't going to be sticking to each other.
Why not? You can just leave them on the fridge.
Yeah.
Power metallic gloss, not
Chris,
magnetic.
Chris, who flipping cares? Okay,
because you know what? Metallic. Because you know what? People are going to listen to the show and they're going to go to the store and say, "Where's my magnetic comic?"
Right? Mm-hmm. They go right up there with the other magnets.
Yeah,
right on that wall, right on that aluminum wall, buddy. Hey, so Marvel plans power. I'm going to get this right. Power metallic gloss covers for Civil War II.
Correct.
So they're going to use some heavy ass stock as a cover.
Heavy ass.
Heavy ass. Mm-hmm. It's the best kind.
Yep.
Stock on a cover. And then they're going to inundate it, saturate it, soak it. So it's sopping with this metallic.
Sopping.
Ink.
Sopping.
And it's going to give it some nice sheen and gloss.
So what you're telling me is there's going to be a sopping heavy ass comic.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And how can you resist that?
You really can't. You really
can't. So my question to you is this the beginning of the end, or is this just a cool little add-on feature that is going to be welcomed by the collecting community?
You know what? This harkens back to the days of the 1990s when there was the metallic covers, the scratch-and-sniff covers, the glow-in-the-dark die-cut.
Poly bag.
And those just came out already. And
free
went
trading
around.
Card. Yeah, poly bags that were just out. Yeah, you know.
This is the next step of the same cycle.
Yeah, same as it ever was.
Okay. All right, but I'm going to ask you this.
Ask you.
Is that necessarily a bad thing? Is it a bad thing? Like.
No, it's not.
It is itself. For its own unique purpose, isn't a bad thing. But what it did to the market in the 90s, where they tried to just cash in immediately, and then it...
Well, okay, that's the divide, right? Yeah. That's the divide. Go ahead.
Okay, but hold on a sec. So you're right, and you're both right.
We are.
You are.
That's rare. That's rare.
Hey, so, yeah, buddy, good job.
It does harken back to the 1990s, and people did speculate on a lot of comics, and that eventually killed the market for a long time.
Killed the back issue market.
Well, no, but it also killed people just stopped buying comics,
right? You're right.
And then and now with the Harley Quinn, with the bagged issues, with the Superman, Batman bagged issues, people are buying lots because they're hoping to get that rare sketch cover or hoping to cash in later on. So people who don't normally buy comics are actually buying lots of them.
Especially
hopefully
for that sketch cover, like that's actually a really cool thing if you were lucky enough to get one.
Yep.
Yeah.
But is it a bad thing? I don't know if it's a bad thing. I don't mind them.
This is the way I see it is. If you're a fan of the comics, and you collect comics,
I do.
You like to read them and collect them.
I do.
And then this for you, if you're buying your copy, may be worth the extra dollar or two because you enjoy it,
right?
So as a fan and a collector of a comic book, the utility of reading it is the same.
Okay, you're right. Yeah,
but. If you're collecting them and kind of enjoying it, having it in your stash pile, I have that one. That's a good thing.
Right.
But if the speculating market takes it over and people are you know, like you say, that have no interest in comics are coming in and grabbing these things to resell and everything like that, then that's not a good thing. But my question is, or I don't even know if it's a question, but is... It's almost independent markets. The market for a brand new comic coming out at your local comic book shop today and every Wednesday is an independent market, really kind of your eBay flippers of these ink-soaked, heavy-ass comics,
right?
So, yeah, it's a good thing if I'm a guy coming in and I love it. Oh, sure. I love the look of this. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to put it on my wall. Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It can be seen as a good
thing. It can be. Now, however, now I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Play it, Chris.
So it doesn't say anywhere in this article about how much it's going to cost.
Right.
Is this now metallic, extra high gloss,
$9?
$9? Yeah. Is it going to be $12?
Yeah.
Is it going to be an extra 50 cents?
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's a good point.
So as the average collector, do I want to spend, $8 on a comic that I would normally get for $4?
Right.
Well, now I'm spending twice on it.
Yeah.
I guess it might be similar to like the 3D covers because that was a different style. It was a different everything,
right?
Do that cover. And what were those? Like $4.99? Like
$4.99 or $5.99?
Whether that's Canadian or US retail, I can't remember. I don't. But it was like another dollar or two
at least,
on top
at least,
of the normal. So if this goes all out and got the heavy ass Soppage stock as yeah. Walt saying.
Soppage. Uh-huh.
It might be that exact same price, that yep. you know, $5.99 if that's
right,
what they were.
Right. And it, you know, if it's an extra 50 cents, who cares?
Yeah. Even but a dollar.
If, really. Even dollar. But yeah. if it's like double the price for the yeah. same book, I don't yeah. want to pay that.
Good yeah. point.
Right?
Good point. Yep. So let's reserve judgment and wait to see what the pricing structure is.
All right,
is.
Sounds good.
But yeah, I don't see generally, principle-wise, anything wrong with enhancing the cover to make it more eye-appealing.
I agree.
All right. Let's move on, Chris. I printed it off for our listeners to see.
Okay, what's that?
This brand new Doctor
printed it off yeah. for your listeners to see.
Oh, they're seeing it. You got to hold it closer to the
microphone. I am.
Hold it closer to the microphone.
As close yeah, as so I can get it.
Okay, what is it?
It's the new Doctor Strange poster.
Oh, nice, nice.
And it has Cumberbund there in some sort of room
yeah.
with a window.
The bun room.
In the bun room.
Yeah.
It, the image appears. You just go online, Google the new Doctor Strange poster. The image appears to show the window of the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Right.
Which in comics is the physical manifestation of a spell interwoven with the house's natural energies that protect the Doctor's home from supernatural invasions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that is so cool.
That's awesome.
I
yeah,
think
you know
that's
what?
A mouthful as well. I
like the fact, so I'm a fan of Doctor Strange.
So am I.
So I like the fact that this window is pretty much exactly the way it was in the comics.
In the
right?
comics,
so
yeah.
So I like
yeah.
the fact that they've made it like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
I like it. I like the whole look. I mean, okay, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Doctor Strange, the whole concept of a Doctor Strange has been around since, you know, the medieval times. The alchemist, the sorcerer,
yep.
the Merlin, you know, all that yep. kind of stuff. So the story, the central kind of themes of Doctor Strange are universal and have been part of fiction lore since a thousand years, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
so this is kind of like an updated, the Marvel way take on that whole thing.
On that whole Merlin take, yep.
And I'm excited about it for a couple of things because I love that whole premise, the
yeah.
Merlin, the
Me
alchemist,
too.
That yeah. kind of stuff, the sorcery. And I love the way Marvel does stuff.
Yes.
So you combine yeah. the two.
It's going to be great
stuff.
I'm
pretty optimistic
great stuff.
About what's going to come out.
Yeah, no, so. I agree. And you know what? I like the fact that Doctor Strange is getting his own movie first. They're not just sort of, you know, throwing him away and putting him part of the Avengers just as a throw-in, you know.
Yeah.
They're really going to explore the character a little bit.
Now I'm going to put you guys on the spot.
Uh-oh, here we
Uh-oh.
Go.
You guys have seen more of these movies than I have.
Okay.
And you've waited for the Easter eggs at the end.
Right.
Has Doctor Strange, I think he was mentioned in a couple of them. Like, has Doctor Strange
I think he was
appeared?
Mentioned in one of them, yeah.
I'm not... Yeah, it wasn't a lot. I mean, it only would have been maybe one, and that's very recently. I can't...
Yeah.
For whatever... I don't... Actually, I want to say that it hasn't been, but...
I think he was mentioned briefly in one of the... I think in, like, the last Avengers movie.
Because you know how Marvel always ties in and segues and
yeah,
leads
they
and ties in?
But
have
no,
they at all set this up in any kind of minuscule
not
way
really,
in any
no,
other movies?
Not like they have in the past.
Right.
Not no. like, you know, in the past they'll have, like, the extended trailer at the very end. There's
yeah,
nothing like that.
Yeah.
However, having said that,
uh-huh.
this movie comes out in November.
Yeah.
So
right. expect there to be something in, say, Civil
in
War.
In the Civil War yeah. movie where
oh,
they might
right.
set up.
Because yeah.
that's usually what they do. They usually set right. it up for the just before kind
so
of thing.
So you think mm-hmm. Cumberbund might be in Civil War?
I think there might be like
an allusion to it.
Yeah, an illusion to it or even...
Hey,
so
hey, that is witty.
Witty.
See how we synchronized on that?
So, yeah, I think they might
witty banter.
He yeah. might appear like in the end credits or something like
right.
that. Mm-hmm. You know?
And then it teases, or he may, yeah, he may have like that tiny little snippet
yeah.
that he plays some sort of relevance in the Civil War and then, you know, cut to Doc Strange movie and then Civil
yeah.
War part two. Or what, is that up to
well, it would be better.
No, it's just one.
It would be better if he was actually. You know, written into the movie.
I don't think he will be though. I don't expect to see him in the movie. I don't think we're going to see him until the end, until his actual movie.
Yeah.
But he may be in like an end credit kind of thing. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
That is wonderful.
Yeah,
well,
no,
listen,
I like
I'm pumped. I'm excited about.
And I think you know
what?
I think Cumberbatch there. I think he's a great. Great
perfect.
Picture or a great person to do that.
Yeah, he's perfect.
Yeah.
Great actor.
I mean,
great actor. I couldn't think of the word for some reason.
Hey, he's great.
You
know, that comes
listen,
by.
He was second on my list next to Trebek as well.
Next to Trebek. Yeah. Remember there was that old 1970s made for TV movie with a guy that looked like Alex Trebek.
Alex
there,
Trebek,
yeah.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
I guess you got
some sort of magazine
okay,
in front of you. That's
I got a magazine. It's a very high gloss magazine.
Is it magnetic ink?
It does not have magnetic ink, and it does not. So oddly enough, it doesn't even have pictures of nude girls in it or anything like that. So
that's so unlike you,
Chris. I know. This is, however. So for those of you who buy comics on a regular basis, mm-hmm. you are probably familiar with the concept of previews catalog. So the previews catalog, previews basically has a monopoly over comic books, basically.
I mean, that would be the Diamond comic distributor.
Right,
yes.
So Diamond distributes basically all the comics for the whole world, pretty much.
They have
pretty
the exclusives. Yeah. Well, you know what? Once you land Marvel in DC, everybody else wants to come on.
Right. However, DC has decided that they don't no longer want to be part of the previews catalog in its entirety. They mm-hmm. are now publishing their own previews catalog. And so they've made it kind of like this weird kind of magazine format. And it's kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of like an actual magazine. Like there's like articles and it's more of an actual magazine you would buy on the newsstands than just a catalog of books to buy. I didn't think I would be impressed by it. And I mm-hmm. actually am. There's all kinds of cool interviews with like, they've got Geoff Johns here and there's a whole bunch of things. Yeah. I actually like the idea. It's not just a catalog.
Right.
Didn't Marvel try that at one point too, or they still have their own
Well, they still have their own catalog, but this is completely different because this is like an actual, it's like a magazine where there's actual like news articles and interviews and
all kinds
of stuff. Whereas the other one that Marvel does is literally just a catalog.
So DC plans to do this monthly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like if you look, you can see it's like full-on Marvel articles.
It's like an industry insider.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually. I didn't think I was going to like it. And, you know, it is 2 weeks late, which, you know, means that now you only have 2 weeks to put your order in. But it's a neat little magazine.
They might hammer out those small details and tackle it. But
I would hope so.
You know what? The content in that actually looks a lot better than what I thought it was going to be.
Totally, it's actually a nice-looking magazine. It's not like in...
You know, Shecky, this is a good-looking book right here.
I think that's a good-looking book.
Good-looking book right here.
It's not just newsprint. It's like, it's nice.
All right. Let's let previews, DC Comics previews, take us into a musical interlude.
All right.
And then we'll come back with some more industry news.
More industry news on the way. So, Shecky, what do you got lined up for us?
We're going to go back to a little classic Krantz.
Classic Krantz. Let's hear it.
Swing, baby, swing.
All right.
Good pick, Shecky.
The way both of you make fun of me and my uninvolved lifestyle with the opposite sex, the way you two were both dancing during that interlude makes me think you had to have been married for a while that you can get away with whatever that was.
You know, first of all, we were in rhythm. That's the key.
That's right.
And second of all, we'll let the viewing audience decide that.
The view-
okay. Compare that to the Doc Strange poster. Ooh. Yeah.
Hey, listen, never mind that. Do you have a sponsor for the next segment of Industry News?
Yeah, interestingly enough, last segment of Industry News brought to us by Doc Strange brand Sanctum Sanctorums. When you need protection from supernatural invasions, then trust Strange. He's a doctor.
Oh, that is true. Trust me. I'm a doctor.
Trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm a doctor.
Okay, what do you got first, Walt?
Hey, listen, I read this. You know, you ever have one of those... What's that thing called? Infamy?
Epiphany.
What's it called?
Epiphany.
Eureka.
Eureka moments?
No. Epiphany? I was talking about your hygiene, but all right.
Okay.
Eureka.
Listen, don't derail me here because this is one of those epiphany moments.
Epiphany.
It's where you read it. It's not even an epiphany moment. It's a moment that's like, why didn't I think of this?
Right.
This is so obvious.
Right.
It's staring you right in the face for 800 years. Not 800 years, but yeah. literally 50 years.
Yeah.
You and are, nobody's ever put it together.
You are old. That's true. Yeah.
Boom Studios and Dark Horse will publish a 5-issue miniseries in September. Planet of the Apes and Tarzan. It's called Tarzan on the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, that's cool. Because, okay. you know, normally Tarzan the Ape Man.
Tarzan the Ape Man, right. Tarzan of the Apes.
Right.
And then you got Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And then you got nobody put them together. Yeah. So it's almost like a John Carter-y thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, John Carter goes to Mars and he tries to think.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Tarzan goes to the Planet of the Apes. I don't know if it's
or
that.
Tarzan or goes to the Planet of the Apes.
Or is it like he's always been, you know, in the Planet of the Apes, but then never found the other apes.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh, I like that too.
He's over in the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
yeah.
The story is going to be, I think, written by Tim Seeley.
Nice.
And David Walker, where Fernando Dagnino
will
do the art. And Duncan
Figredo
will do the cover art.
Nice.
So the story will follow Tarzan and his ape brother Caesar, raised as brothers, as they reunite when the war between humans and apes brings them to the center of the earth.
Okay, now hold on a second here. Let's just pause for 1 second. Now, Caesar was the ape, main ape in the recent remake of the Planet
or
of the Apes.
The prequels or whatever.
The recent Planet of the
Apes. Well, he was also the main ape in the 1970s.
Caesar was?
Like in the third movie when they're
in
back.
In the third one, yeah. Because he was Cornelius. Was in Dr. Zaius were the main
that's
ones
right.
in the first
one. That's right,
they
were the
one.
First two.
Right.
But then I think the third one when they
Caesar,
come to Earth.
That's right. Yeah,
because Caesar was the chimp that went to space, right? He was like the one.
Caesar was like the baby one. What's it? Victor Newman from The Wine Hour wanted to steal or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is like a fantastic concept.
Oh, it's
guys,
awesome. Yeah.
I'm a huge Planet of the Apes fan. I thought the premise was great.
No, I think it's awesome.
And Tarzan, I don't know how to say this politely, but
just
Tarzan
go ahead and say it.
Is a tired old property.
Oh, it is. But
that hasn't resonated with the youth, right? Think about Tarzan, though, where it came out of. It came out of basically an elitist, racist kind of world,
right?
Where white man goes into sub-Saharan Africa and rules, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's
well, it's because the feature, the motion picture, is coming to theaters.
There's
soon.
A new one.
The big
out.
One.
Yeah.
The big high-budget one. And the initial reviews are very positive. They're saying it's great.
Okay. Again, though, colonialism, Europeanism,
right.
you know, you can never kind of remove that stigma from Tarzan,
right,
is my
right.
point.
Yeah.
But by putting him on the Planet of the Apes,
I think it's
kind
awesome.
Of removes
kind
the
of
stigma,
removes it. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But the thing I don't get, and the thing I don't get how they're going to work it is, I mean, isn't Cornelius going to be fighting for the
Caesar?
Sorry, Caesar going to be fighting for the apes?
And, well, and this is probably where it's going to be, you know, brother versus brother, you know, like that kind of thing where... You know, there's gonna be a gigantic battle at the end where Caesar's gonna fight for the apes and Tarzan's gonna fight for the humans. But then at the very end, they'll learn to love each other, and reconcile
somehow,
their differences, and
go have a banana together.
That's,
or something.
That's right.
Get a banana pop.
Yeah,
get a banana pop. Banana split. That's
nice,
what they'll have.
Nice.
Okay, so that's cool. So and then there's some more comic news. I read that Dark Horse will be publishing I got to get this all out in under one breath.
Yeah,
here.
Go ahead for it.
Predator versus Judge Dredd versus Aliens.
Right. So Judge Dredd is the big 2080 creation. You know, it's been going on for years and years and years. They've had a couple movies now.
Right.
Predator, of course, everybody knows from the movies with Arnold. And Aliens, great franchise there, started by, what's his name, Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So now it looks like there's a cooperation between 2080 and IDW Publishing, where they're going to have Judge Dredd versus Predator versus Aliens. It's going to be written by John Layman, who's actually been around for a long time. I don't know who the artist Chris Mooneyham is. I have no idea who that guy is. But covers by Glenn Fabry. Now, you may remember the old covers of Preacher from Vertigo, the DC Comics Preacher.
Yeah.
Glenn Fabry was the guy that did all the covers for that ongoing series.
Yeah, it's kind of
time.
Really kind of... awkward art in terms of it's kind of ugly art.
It's kind of ugly, beautifully, beautiful, ugly art.
Yeah.
So
kind of unforgiving in his caricature.
Yeah.
And you know what? With this whole thing, because you're about to talk about the story, right? A little bit. You're going to do a snippet?
Maybe.
Yeah. When you say the title, Predator versus Judge Dredd versus Aliens, all I could help to do was facepalm and say, what the heck is this nonsense?
Uh-huh.
The Alien versus Predator thing's been done. We understand that. But Judge Dredd coming... I don't understand how that works.
Right.
And then you read it, though.
Yeah.
And it makes a little... It's interesting now.
The story takes place in Alabama.
Yeah.
Where Judge Dredd and Judge Anderson have tracked a criminal cult. A mad genetic scientist has acquired genes from, I don't even want to say
this. A xenomorph, which is an alien.
And a predator has declared hunt and has declared, and a predator has declared hunting season.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
It is a pretty cool premise.
Yeah.
Like it's, and with the Judge Dredd sort of thing where it's in the future and it's like they have technology development.
Yeah,
you can almost kind of make sense and see that.
Well, what do you guys think of that, though? What do you guys think of, obviously Aliens can't hold a title on its own, kind of. A predator really can't. And Judge Dredd has more of a cult type of thing. Mm-hmm. Do you like this sharing?
I like this idea because, you know what? I think the problem with Aliens and Predator is that although the first few series were really good and it lasted a long time, I think the problem is it's hard for a reader to empathize with a predator or with an alien because so there always has to be sort of side characters that become the heroes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Whereas here we already know about Judge Dredd, so Judge Dredd is going to be the hero. We can as a reader can relate to Judge Dredd.
Right,
we don't have to worry about trying to relate to a xenomorph or a predator, right? So
okay. Although
I think
it'll
work
in the Alien vs. Predator movies, it always seemed like Predator as compared to the other, like, you know, the Arnold days.
Yeah,
he always kind of became more relative to a human form because he's, you know, upstanding and he's like a hunter and he's smart and he's advanced.
Yep.
May not understand him, but he always had shared a little humanistic quality. He'd protect a human if like they were,
in the
movie. So I kind of see it.
We'll see.
Cool.
We'll see.
Let's keep going. More comic news. Chris.
This is great.
Gru. Sergio Aragonés will launch Gru, Fray of the Gods, a 12-issue maxi-series, really.
So this is awesome. So Gru, a long, long time ago, Gru the Wanderer came out, done by Sergio Aragonés. He's the guy that, in case you weren't too sure...
Chris liked Gru. He said the series grew on him. Yeah, that was really, really bad.
Sergio, I don't know if you remember Mad Magazine, of course. He used to do all the... It was called the Mad Marginals. So in the margins of all the different Mad magazines, in the columns, like on the side of the page, you see little cartoons. And Sergio Aragonés was responsible for all those. And, of course, then he created Gru, which lasted a long time. And it kind of fell off the wayside for a little bit. But now it's back again with Fray of the Gods, written by the same guy that wrote them all before, Marc Vanier. So the team-up of Marc Vanier and Sergio Aragonés, great team-up. I'm really happy to see that this has come back again. I think it's a badly needed niche that's not around right now.
Mm. Yeah, Gru is good reading. I mean, the unfortunate part of Gru, it's definitely a cult thing. You have to be a Gru fan.
Totally.
It's hard to get somebody new to try to pick up Gru.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
But and the good part about this is this will develop into a fantastic graphic novel.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
then shopkeepers at local comic book shops can say, hey, you want to read something cool? Check out Fray of the Gods.
And I think people will probably wait for the graphic novel. That's the only bad part about it is that they might be like, oh, I'll wait for the whole thing to finish, then I'll read it all at once.
All right. So speaking of waiting for the graphic novel, let's talk about the last bit of comic book news is Conan the Slayer. The next series, next Conan series will be written by Cullen Bunn. Where am I with Cumberbund?
Cumberbund.
Cullen Bunn. Uncanny X-Men, Deadpool, Merc with the and the Mercs for Money is what he wrote. So we've talked about this before. Dark Horse's approach to Conan in terms of abandoning some sort of continuity series going with, they may... You may not have Conan stories in your comic shop for 2 months because they're prepping for the next 6-issue arc.
Right, right.
You know, Conan the Destroyer, Conan the Slayer, Conan the Usurper.
Yep.
In this case, Conan the Slayer.
Yeah.
I like that approach because, I don't know, I mean, Conan fans are rabid fans.
They are.
Conan fans are strong fans,
right?
And they're just looking for bite-sized stories, and that's what they're getting with the way Dark Horse is doing Conan. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. I think Conan is such a strong character. You know, I didn't read the novels for a long time. I finally got around to reading them a couple of years ago, and they're great, great short stories and novels.
Oh, the Robert E. Howard stuff.
The Robert E. Howard stuff, the original stuff. Great stuff. Really powerful stories. And, you know, I think Conan is a great character that needs to be in comics and needs to continue off in some form.
All right. Hey, what do we got? You want to
Quick musical? Let's have one more quick musical interlude, and then we'll finish up the show. How's that sound?
Shecky, can you hook us up with a quickie?
Well, you just got to cut it off when you like.
All right, let's hear it.
Wherever Batman goes, he is always there. And all their evil foes are very much aware that though he's just a boy, no grown-up can compare with Robin, the wonderful boy wonder. If Batman's in a fix and it looks like it's the end, he really doesn't worry, he knows he can depend on that fearless teenage hero who is his closest friend. Robin, the wonderful boy wonder, he fights for law and order whenever there's disorder, and asks for no reward or prize for doing what he order. And though he's just a lad, I'm sure that you'll agree.
Hey, wonderful stuff, Shecky. That was nice and quick.
Yes, very nice. Very nice.
Hey, we just got a few seconds. Are you going to do a 12-second sponsor?
You know what? Second. Those non-paying sponsors don't hold light to the urgency right. you have
we'll,
right
we'll,
now.
We'll give this sponsorship to the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
There you go. Absolutely. Perfect.
Hey, so we got a couple minutes. I just wanted to touch on what I think is good news, Chris.
What's that?
We won't go into depth on the March comic book numbers, but what I like to see was there was a rebound on DC in terms of its position in the
In the marketplace.
In the marketplace. Right. I remember you and I talked a couple months ago about how DC has slipped and how in March, Marvel controlled 37.4% of the market. DC controlled 26.3%. Image controlled 8.7%. You know, I mean, I'd like to see that gap close a little bit even more. I don't want it to be a dominant one party system.
No, I agree. Me too. Yeah.
And I think DC was down in around 20%.
You know what's surprising is Dark Horse is down to like 2.8%.
Yeah.
They
lost Star Wars, though, right?
No, that's true. Yeah,
they lost Star Wars, which is a big chunk of their sales. So, yeah. But so, anyways, it's good to see DC doing something right, clawing their way back.
Yep.
You and I will monitor the numbers over the summer and see if they can, hit that 30% mark, which I think for a house like DC is a number to aspire to.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Top 10 comics for the month. No surprise, that kind of anniversary issue, Batman number 50, was the number one comic. I won't read through the 10 list. I do have a complaint about Batman 50 in a sense that it was an oversized, overpriced book, which celebrates, and here, you know, you and I were just talking about Conan.
Yep.
Okay. And what Batman 50 is doing is it's celebrating a false pretext of, hey, we've reached a milestone issue.
Yeah, whether
there are no milestone issues anymore.
No, not anymore.
Continuity is irrelevant.
I agree.
They're going to abandon the title already. Why are we celebrating number 50?
Yeah, I agree.
And so that bugged me. Anyway, most of it was controlled by Marvel. You had Star Wars. You had Darth Vader twice.
Yeah, this is interesting, though. So whereas in the past few months, DC really didn't have a lot of books in that top 10, but now we've got Batman, we've got Superman.
That's it, Chris.
That's it. I thought there was more than that.
No, but hey, listen, though. No, but hey, two of the top four, though. And that's
two of the top four,
right. Two of the top four, 50% of the top four. On the graphic novel side, Walking Dead Volume 25, it seems whenever the new volume of Walking Dead comes out,
that always goes number one.
It rules the roost with a bullet. You got the old Civil War graphic novel coming back as people
are interested in Civil War again.
And they want to read the backstory. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to touch on, I know we don't have any time left.
No, I just
wanted to touch on
interesting,
the fact
though.
And I want to bring up something that's just randomly freak. I thought you would have touched on it.
What's
for the top 10 books of the month entirety, the number two was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I tried to avoid that.
I know the kid Shecky was going to fit that
you can't
up,
put
so.
That one over my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, listen, guys, it's all the time we have for today's show. We want to thank James Ponce for participating and being on the show. Comic Culture is on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. We're engineered by Chris Owen and produced by Shecky Feldstein. Go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.